O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we heard words something like this in our reading from 1 Samuel. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Now the reading we had as our Old Testament, that reading we had as our Old Testament reading, because we only have one here, so the reading you had at this service, you will hear it again for the next two Sundays as well, because it's around this that this series sits. Because we're going to look at three Old Testament characters. Saul, who was yesterday's man of God, he has the crown but has lost the anointing. Samuel, today's man of God, he has bridged the gap. And David, tomorrow's man of God, he has the anointing but not the crown. He is the future king. So today we look at Saul. Now by the time we get to 1 Samuel 16, Saul has lost the presence and the blessing of God. He still wore the crown, he had the following, he was the king. Now yesterday's man or woman are still gifted, but God's power and presence or anointing has left them, which just sounds a bit chilling and something we probably often don't think about. Now what do we mean by anointing? There are two words used of this in the Bible. Firstly, anointing with oil, objects, places and people. And secondly, the Old Testament refers to a consecrated person such as a king, a priest or a Messiah. And the person was consecrated by pouring oil over them, which, as I've said before, is a bit of a messy business. So you think of a horn of oil about so big and the whole lot just being topped over you. It would feel good as it ran down your neck and everywhere else. Your imagination can do that. In the New Testament, the word is charisma, and it's used of anointing, used for anointing, and it means the active presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You'll hear me pray sometimes for the Lord's anointing to rest on someone, particularly like this morning as we pray for Kathy. I prayed that the Lord's anointing would be on her and her leadership, and she prayed for me that the same would be for me as I spoke. I pray that over you as a congregation as well, that the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit will be poured upon you and that you would know that in your life. Now, the anointing is at work when we easily use the gifts and abilities God has given us. We never lose these gifts. We may bury them. They may become underused and sort of get rusty, but they're still there. However, we can lose the anointing. Now, as we think about this, it's very helpful to remember that God will never promote a person to the level of incompetency in his kingdom. He will never promote a person to the level of incompetency in the kingdom. That's what we do. People do that. And we have to make jokes about it, don't they? We keep promoting to the beyond their competence. See, it's kind of one of those things when we're feeling a bit grumpy about whoever's responsible for us in some sort of way. But in God's kingdom, he doesn't do that. He matches you to the job because he knows what you're capable of and he knows what your gifts are. He knows what he can do in you. So if you're struggling in the job which you know that God has given you to do, or others have confirmed that it's there for you to do, because sometimes you don't, then God will equip you by his Spirit for that task, the anointing. He'll empower you for that. You cannot do everything, but you can do what God has gifted you to do. Now it's interesting that healthy people can laugh at themselves. You notice that? Artie Kendall, who's the inspiration for this series, says, "There is great peace when we come to terms with our limitations." Some of us are coming to terms with our limitations because ad domini is creeping along. And when we do come to terms with them, instead of fretting about it, we'll probably find then too we'll have great peace. The anointing allows us to be ourselves, for we're not having to prove ourselves, and that brings great freedom. Accepting our limitations is essential to accepting our anointing. Don't you love that little dog? I'd hate to think he was driving. Anyway, maturity is understanding who you are. It's a sign of your maturity. Now, God has a unique anointing for each one of us. And we are to seek God's heart, we are to rest in Him and become secure in His grace, and He will give His anointing to us. Now, a yesterday's man or woman is someone who ceases to be relevant. They get stuck in a particular move of God and want to keep that going and will resist what God is challenging them with. Dr. Kendall says, the greatest opposition to what God is doing today comes from those who are on the cutting edge of what God was doing yesterday. Bit of warning in that, isn't there? Becoming yesterday's man or woman has nothing to do with how old you are. It's all about the anointing lifting from a person, but they carry on regardless. Saul, the yesterday's man, was gifted by God. He was a great starter but a lousy finisher. He lacked the character to succeed, but he carried on wearing the crown for another 20 years. It's a long time, isn't it? You think, gosh, in that time, why didn't he wake up? Good question. So what makes a yesterday man or woman? By doing something they're not asked to do, or by doing something totally against scripture. Now Saul did this in 1 Samuel 13 when he became impatient with Samuel and performed illegally a priestly duty at the cost of himself and the nation. And when Samuel arrived, he said, what have you done? And Saul replied, when I saw the people were scattered from me and that you did not come, and that the Philistines gathered together, then I said, the Philistines will now come down to me at Gilgal, and I have not prayed to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom will not continue. Big consequences, isn't it? Big consequences of not being obedient to God in His word and as He directs it. You see, we must learn to accept the limits of what God has given us. God is limitless, but His anointing given is limited by God. Saul said, I felt compelled to do it. Right against scripture. People say, God told me. As if God bypassed the Bible and made a special case for them. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's finest work. Take it seriously and believe it, so that when you get a dream, an idea, a prophetic word, or a face with a moral choice, you will know that it is in line with what the Bible says, not simply some fantasy. Saul's problem was that he took himself too seriously, and it got him into trouble. Until David killed Goliath, everything was fine. And then some girls, there's always girls, isn't it? Some girls started singing a different song. They sang about thousands and tens of thousands. They sang that Saul killed 1,000 and David killed tens of thousands. And Saul became scared of this young man. Sad, really. Saul had a brilliant beginning. He started a national revival. You'll see that in 1 Samuel 12. He had authority. Who'd have thought that he would have become a yesterday's man? It happened because he didn't listen and take advice or fit into God's order. Instead, he did his own thing. I can think of nothing worse than this. You see, I want to end well. I have to hear God's voice and not harden my heart or be stubborn. I must listen. As long as I can hear God's voice, that's all that matters. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "The worst thing that can happen to a man is to succeed before he's ready." And that's what happened to Saul. You may be wondering why you can't do this or that. And God says, keep listening. Your time will come. Now, what are the signs of a yesterday's man or woman? Firstly, jealousy. All Saul could think about was David. He was more concerned with him than the real enemy, the Philistines. Saul lived for one thing, to kill David. So get some perspective. Become aware of what pushes your buttons and stirs you up. Do something about it. Secondly, fear. Fear of another's anointing and abilities. They become afraid that someone else will do the task better than them. Now, this is foolishness. Because the advancement of God's kingdom is our only concern. If someone else can do it, that's great. Be glad. Cheer them on. Give them the encouragement to hang in there and hang in there with them. That says a lot about us if we become threatened because someone's is doing a better job than we are. I strike this amongst leaders frequently. They say, but they might do it better than me, or more often they say, well, they may not do it as good. Bit of pride in there, I think. And then I have to go and clean up the mess, as it were. Well, how many times did you ride a bike before you fell off it? Now, somebody else then came back to me, but eventually I could ride a bike. What did I say? I said a back front. I didn't notice. You know what I mean. How many times do you ride a bike? Fallen off a bike before you can ride it. Thank you.
Can we listen?
I'm glad you're listening. So champion people who are doing the same job as you, because if they do it better, well, you might learn something. Thirdly, they can't keep their word. In the ancient world, to make a promise, you swore an oath. Saul swore oaths, including one to his son Jonathan, saying that he wouldn't harm David, and broke it that same day. Fourthly, they trust the gift rather than the giver, rather than the grace that comes from the Holy Spirit. The gift is not the evidence of the anointing. It's a gift. The power that comes with exercising that gift that comes by God's grace, that is the anointing. Fifthly, they're not accountable to those who tell them what they need to know. The last words of those who fall is, I'm accountable to God alone. No, I need friends who I know love me enough to ask the questions that will challenge me, and then I will be accountable to God. You need people. God made you for people. He made you to be interdependent on one another. That's his intention. And I frequently find, I had a staff member once, he said, well, when I get to heaven, we'll know whether it's me or God. I said, I guess we will, won't we? We become a yesterday's man or woman when we put ourselves, our theology and tradition above the Bible. When we worry about our reputation and don't listen to God's voice. Now, in 1 Samuel 15, Saul is given a second chance, but he failed again with a lame excuse. Yesterday's man and woman will seek to justify themselves if caught out. They have lost their integrity and honesty. They exist on positional authority. That's the authority that you get because of the position you have. And on natural ability, and their natural charismatic charisma, and nothing else. R.D. Kendall says, it is sad to see those in places of power who are almost certainly living on the prestige of yesterday's anointing. It can happen to a pastor, a bishop, a preacher, or any church leader. One may have the ear of thousands, but not the ear of God. One may have a great mailing list and exert influence, but not be the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. A fresh anointing is essential. It is what replenishes the call and the gifts of God. If our anointing, we read about that in Romans 11:29, is not renewed by God, we will be dependent on yesterday's anointing. Now, it's okay to change your mind. Stubborn pride is such a foolish thing. St. Augustine wrote a whole book on retractions. Someone else said, don't write anything down I say because I might change my mind tomorrow. Bit of a worry, isn't it? But the reality is, sometimes it's the right thing to do to change your mind, isn't it? It's actually a sign of maturity when you can say, well, I got that wrong. I've discovered that this is the case. That's why Paul says, test everything and what? Hold fast to that which is right. Now, you can only test everything if you are certain about what you already know. When you're certain about what you already know, it's safe then to test something else, because it's not a threat. And then you can examine it thoroughly and then make your adjustments as necessary. For me, I want a fresh anointing more than I want people's admiration, more than anything else that I can add. My question for you is, how about you? Do you want to be a yesterday's person? Or do you want to press on and become a today's person? Or maybe God has a calling on your life to be a tomorrow's one. You'll have to come back 3 weeks' time to find out about that one. Next week we'll talk about today's person. Father, we thank you that you call us, you call us all to be your disciples, to walk in obedience to you. Lord, but we see that it is so easy to float to the surface of things and be comfortable in what we know, and the way things have always been done. Lord, help us to see that in some cases it's the way you want it, but there are other times when you're wanting to lead us on to new places, to new horizons, to new opportunities. You have new things in mind to bring others into your kingdom, and you're calling us to do that. Help us then, Lord, to resist the temptation to stay put and to seek your fresh anointing for the new task. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.